So in Acts chapter 4, we see this. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. Now as they spoke to the people, talking about Peter and John, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. And of course, we know why that had happened. The lame man had been healed, and then Peter had given this, was right in the midst of giving this sermon. Peter was not done with the sermon. There was still more that he was going to talk about, but by this time, a large crowd had gathered there. You know, this is the temple area, Solomon's colonnade or Solomon's portico. And so there was this big, big crowd of people gathering around Peter and John. Well, the religious authorities wanted to come and see what was going on. Why are all these people in this area of the temple? What are they doing there? And who are these two people that are preaching there? We know who the Sadducees were. They were the religious aristocracy. They were the wealthy upper class, the upper echelon of Jewish society. They were the Sadducees. In many ways, the rulers. Remembering a little bit about their beliefs will help us understand why they were so upset at what was being preached. They just believed in the first five books of the Old Testament. The Pentateuch, the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's all they believed in as being inspired. So they just followed the first five books. If it wasn't in the first five books, they didn't follow it. They did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. And they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead because they couldn't find it in the first five books of the law of Moses. So they didn't. Or the Old Testament. So they didn't follow it. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Well, who came with the Sadducees? The priest and the captain of the temple. The captain of the temple was the captain of the temple guard, and he was considered second in authority only behind the high priest. So this really is the upper level. This is the high echelon of the Jewish authorities. They wanted to know what was going on in the temple. Who was preaching what? So they came upon Peter and John, and being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. There's why they were so angry. Peter was preaching that the resurrection of the dead was true. See, they said it was false. They said there wasn't a resurrection. Peter is getting up there, and he has the nerve to actually be preaching to these thousands of people, and there were literally thousands of people Peter was preaching to. And he was telling them that the resurrection was real. There really was a resurrection of the dead. So the Sadducees were getting angry. But what did Peter preach about on Pentecost? The resurrection. That Jesus had been raised from the dead. And that the Old Testament, in particular Psalms, and other places, said that Jesus was the Christ, and that he was going to rule and reign over a kingdom. Well, that's what Peter had just been preaching about in Acts chapter 3, the same thing. This is who Jesus is. He's the one. Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter, he's the Son of God. Yes, he was crucified, and everybody knew that, but also he had been raised from the dead. And we see later on throughout the book of Acts that the apostles and others preached and emphasized Christ's resurrection. Because without it, nothing else mattered. That's why he emphasized the resurrection. The resurrection means that Jesus is the Son of God. It had been prophesied that the Son of God would be raised from the dead. Jesus was raised from the dead. He is the Son of God. And because of that, His word can be trusted. And because He was raised from the dead, it means that we're going to be raised from the dead. One leads to the other. In the great chapter on resurrection, the greatest chapter in the Bible that talks about the resurrection, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul emphasizes this fact beginning in verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. Paul says, beginning in 20 and following, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep," those who have died. "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Christ is risen from the dead. And He's the first fruits, the first one, to experience that particular resurrection. So one day, we will all be resurrected. Those who are not alive when Jesus comes again, all of those who have passed, will be resurrected. Jesus said that, right? In John's account of the gospel. He said, "Don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all, absolutely every single one who are in the grave, shall hear His voice and come forth. Those that have done good will be raised to everlasting life. Those that have done evil to everlasting destruction, condemnation." All who are in the grave are going to be resurrected. But all of that is based upon Jesus being resurrected, and that's why the early church preached so much about Jesus' resurrection. So we're going back to Acts chapter 4. Peter continues there, or they continue with Peter. And notice what happens now. "They were greatly disturbed." In verse 3, "They laid hands on them," Peter and John, "and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening." Even though Peter and John had done nothing except heal a lame man, that was it. That's all they had done. They had healed a lame man. And so they were being put in jail because they had healed a lame man. "And they put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening." The Jewish people couldn't have trials in the evening. It was illegal for them to have trials in the evening. Even though that hadn't stopped them with Jesus, did it? They had Jesus' trial in the evening. Another one of the things the Jews did that was sinful was have trials in the evening. They weren't allowed to. But they did it anyway with Him. But here, because it was already evening, they just put them in jail and waited. But notice what happened anyway. "However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. The church grew despite Peter and John being put in jail. 2,000, and that word men there is males. 2,000 males were added, and that's not counting women and children." And by children, I mean younger people old enough, of course, to understand what it means to repent and be baptized. So several thousand. It's very possible by this point, Acts chapter 4, verse 4, that there were a good 15,000 members of the body of Christ. Very, very possible, very likely that there were 15,000 Christians in Jerusalem. And by some estimates, Jerusalem did not have any more than 70 or 80,000 people. So we're talking about the number of Christians in Jerusalem being as high as 25% of the population. That's pretty Amazing. But the point, one of the points is, telling others about Christ is risky. It's risky. Always has been since the first century and always will be. When we read the book of Acts, we see people being rejected, ridiculed. Of course, today we can be gossiped about, we can lose friends. But the book of Acts tells us it is worth it. Nothing done in the name of Christ is ever wasted. If it's giving a tract to someone, it's never wasted. Inviting someone to church or gospel meeting, never wasted. Giving someone a book or whatever, never wasted. Never, ever wasted. Regardless of what those people do with it, it's never wasted. Because you're doing the right thing. And the right thing is never wasted. And that's what we learn from Peter and John. Well, so what happens on the next day? Well, verse 5. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. This is the Sanhedrin. This is the same group that not long before this had condemned Jesus to death. This is the same council. The council had 70 members plus the high priest, made it 71. And the Sadducees had the majority. The majority of those 71 were Sadducees. They were the ruling government of Israel, of the Jewish people. But we'll see in a minute, even though they were the ruling government of Israel, even though they were the religious authorities, even though they were the wealthy ruling class, even though they were the prominent religious leaders, every single one of them was lost. Every one of them was lost. That's pretty serious. Why? Because they had crucified the Son of God. And now they were trying to silence his disciples, his messengers. Luke lists some of the power players, Annas, the high priest, and so forth. Caiaphas was Annas' son-in-law. Some of these others, John and Alexander, and some of those others of the high priest, they later became high priest. I think there was at least five in this family that became high priest. So these were it. I mean, these were the real rulers of the Jewish people. So, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Set them in the midst in the original language means that Peter and John put kind of in the circle, in the middle of the circle, and everybody else was around them like they were going to be badgered with questions. So they set them in their midst and said, by what power, by what name have you done this? Doing some act in the name of someone is doing it by that person's power, that person's authority. We see that same term used by the same author, Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47. Luke, the same Luke that wrote Acts, says in verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. By his power, by his authority. So here the Sanhedrin is asking Peter and John, whose authority? By whose power have you done this? And Peter doesn't have any problem telling them. Now, Peter and John's on trial. Notice Peter's response. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to the helpless man, by what means he's been made well, let it be known to you all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Here's the irony of this whole thing. Peter is saying him and John were arrested because they had simply done an act of kindness. He says, that's the only reason we're here. We did something good. We healed a lame man. Who would not think that's a good thing? The high priest.